Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
We have spoken 5 times already about angelology, and today we have part 6, and the Bible text is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, where it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. The word church comes from the Greek word kuriakos, meaning belonging to the Lord. Kurios is master or Lord. But in the New Testament, it's used ecclesia, which means called out. The meaning of is called out from the world unto one body in Christ Jesus. The outcalling of the true church is the main divine purpose in this present age. In the age of grace, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, which began on the day of Pentecost and will end when the church will be raptured. Even every believer whose name is written in the book of life will be caught up in the air to be together with the Lord. The true church is not a denomination, but the church of which Jesus is the head. "The gates of hell shall not overcome it," Jesus said. Jesus tells us that we are in an evil world, and we must anticipate hatred and persecution, not because of us, but because of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are in the world, but we are not of this world. Our only relationship with this present world is to witness and preach the gospel to it. We are the light of this world. We are the light of this world. The world is in darkness. The objective of Satan is to put out that light. Many have been killed, but the light has never been extinguished. As we study the hostility of Satan during this church age, we remember that the devil is not only a roaring lion, but that he poses as an angel of light, especially in his last days. In Acts 2:47, we read, "The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." He added daily those who were saved. The devil started his fight against the early church, imprisoning believers, killing the apostle James with terrible persecution through Saul. And as this church spread throughout the world, there was a Roman Empire, there was an emperor, and his name is Nero, who terribly persecuted everyone who was a Christian. There were many persecutors throughout history. The Roman Catholic Church killed everyone who brought the light of the gospel, especially they persecuted those who were translating the Bible into their language. Think of the terrible persecution in communist countries or countries where they have different religions. Understand that Satan is behind all this. It's Satan who is trying to put out the light. Those who are used as persecutors are possessed by evil spirits or even Satan himself. In the age-old hostility of the devil and his seed against God and his Christ. Throughout the church age, hostility never ceased, but Christ, God, and his Lamb shall triumph. Praise the Lord. The early believers had a good communion amongst themselves. We read in Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. It was voluntary and helped the poor among them. No wonder Satan hated this principle. He incited Ananias and Sapphira to sell their land, keep something for themselves, and telling the apostles, the gift what we give to you is what we receive for this land. It was a blow to mutual love and confidence. Peter was discerning in the spirit and denounced this deception. And so it says, Acts 5, verse 3. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money that you received for the land? The gift was not for Peter. The gift what they brought was for God, and the lie was directed to God. And God answered immediately with judgment, so that great fear came upon all the people. Later on came his wife in and told the same lie, and she received the same punishment. Both of them dropped dead on the spot. One lie of the devil, but the effects had consequences throughout Christianity. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Why has Satan filled your heart? Peter asked Ananias. Why has Satan filled your heart? How can the heart of a Christian be filled with Satan? God has made man's heart in such a way that it has to be opened from within. From the without, you cannot open it, but from within. So if Satan fills the heart, and to activate the mind and the motives, the key must be turned on the inside. So, if somebody opens his heart, the devil can come in. The book of Acts of the Apostles should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And in the Great Commission, Jesus gave this assurance in Mark 16, 17, and 18, which says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak and use tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. So the power is coming when the Holy Spirit is upon us, and miracles shall happen. So it was not the act of the believer, but the act of the Holy Spirit. The believer is only the channel through whom the power flows. The name of Jesus is above every other name. Praise the Lord. No devil can stand against that name. Satan tried to stop the believers, but the more Satan tried, the more the gospel spread all over the world. It's not for making one great or for pride. It's the name of Jesus that causes all these signs to follow. After the disciples had been sent by Jesus, they came back and they were joyful and happy, and they said, even the evil spirits obeyed us. And Jesus responded with these words in Luke 10:20. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Why is this so important? Revelation 20 gives the answer. Verse 15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So it's important that our name is written in heaven, so that we shall be in heaven with God and not be in the lake of fire. Therefore, it is imminent that people give their lives unto God. Evil spirits are cast out. The sick are healed. People accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Mighty things are happening when we trust in God. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:18 that he wanted to visit them, but Satan had stopped him. Satan stirred opposition against the ministry of Paul. Many disputes, many disagreements in the growing churches can be traced back to Satan. Fights between church leadership, fights between churches are created by Satan and by demons. Like one church pastor who said to the other pastor, I will finish you off. That is of Satan, the chief of evil spirits. Hindering and obstructing the work of God and the personal effort of those dedicated to it is Satan's objective. God says, go, redeem. And Satan says, go, destroy. Go, damning. God says, go, making. And Satan says, go, destroying. God says, go, believing. And God says, Satan says, go, doubting. There are many hindrances to pray and to worship. When you decide to pray, how many times are you distracted with all kinds of things? When you pray and you don't switch off your phone, how many times are you distracted by phone? How many things do you remember that you should do before you start to pray? Do you think that happens by chance? No. It is Satan who tries to stop you to communicate with God. He finds all kinds of tricks in stopping you to have fellowship with God. Under persecution, the church was growing and spreading. Various church councils were organized by the early church fathers. They tried to find a common doctrine of Christianity. In the 3rd century was Origen. He conceived a system of spiritualizing the Bible. This enormous erroneous system of interpretation led to the rapid decline of spiritual vision. At the same time, the church made an unholy union with the state. The Roman Emperor Constantine, he stopped the diabolical persecution of Christians. But also, he influenced the church in the beginning of its darkest hour of apostasy. Constantine called himself a Christian and poured a flood of wealth and honor upon the church, especially upon the clergy. He was productive of more evil to the true church than all the persecutions before him together. The union of the church with the Roman state was a base alliance with the darkest center of pagan dominion. Rome was a center of pagan worship. In Rome, they worshipped many gods, but they also worshipped the goddess Isis. Her worship may have influenced Christian beliefs and practices such as the veneration of Mary. Isis continues to appear in Western culture, but particularly in esoteric and modern paganism, often as a personification of nature or the feminine aspect of divinity. Constantine mixed paganism with Christianity. Many of his inventions are still in use today. In English, we have the days of the week according to the gods of the planets. Monday is devoted to the moon god. Saturday is devoted to the Saturn god. Sunday is devoted to the sun god. The same is with the months. March, as example, is devoted to the Mars god. So there are other months and days that are devoted to demon gods. We could see the decline of the church as it was in love with the world. With the fall of the Roman Empire, the Dark Ages started in Europe. It was a time when great castles were built, where a lot of evil was practiced. When you visit these ruins today, you can still feel the evil influence in that place. It was also the time of papal power. The Roman Catholic popes fought wars and they lived immoral lives. They had many mistresses, many wives, many children, and they even killed each other so because they wanted to succeed the Pope. So the Bible became a sealed book. It was an era of torture, of death, and devilish darkness. It is a period of apparent triumph of Satan and the powers of darkness. It seemed that the light was fully extinguished, but a remnant of believers remained and upset the devil's hopes. The Reformation of the 16th century was a revival of Christian faith against satanic tyranny and corruption and fear and infection of pagan doctrines and association through the Catholic Church. Through the satanic darkness, millions of saints sealed their testimony with their blood. The Reformation gave birth to Protestantism, the beginning of a great evangelical movement which again revealed the way of salvation by faith and not by works. Especially in the 19th and 20th century, many new churches were born going back to the time of Pentecost. Many mission organizations were founded. World evangelism became a major outreach of Christians. The hope of the second coming of Christ again became an inspiration for Christians. We have come to the last days, yet Satan is still working hard. We live in a time of increased evil and apostasy. The transforming power of God unto salvation must be preached and must be spread. Within Christianity, there exists the true church, born again believers, the body of Christ, of which Jesus is the head. The true church will be raptured, caught up together to be with the Lord forever. We find many passages in the Bible that speak of the last days, just prior to the second coming of Christ. God is calling out a people for himself. We are still in a time of grace, but the time is ending very soon. As we are studying Satan's influence and activity from the beginning to the end of God's purpose for the church, there are certain revelations that bear upon the devil's last desperate effort to corrupt, seduce, and destroy as many as possible before the true church is taken up and beyond his reach anymore. We are living in the last days. All the prophecies of end time can already be identified in the present trend of political, social, and spiritual life. We have followed the developments of God's plan and purpose for the church from its birth on the day of Pentecost and throughout the turbulent centuries of its history. There were many times of triumphs, but also days of great challenge. Satan's ceaseless onslaught was always active. Now we come to the close of the church age. Satan's warfare is not only directed to the church. A great field of activity by far is a constant vigil of keeping unsaved ever blinded to the gospel truth. People of this world, they are blind, they cannot see. This is caused by Satan. Satan's part in the great apostasy of the last days is seen that he leads more and more people into false and erroneous teachings. It's called the doctrines of the devil. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit clearly says that in latter days some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." The root of all apostasy is denial. It's a total desertation of principles of faith. Satan's strategy in the last days is an accelerated system of denials. And the days of apostasy are already upon us. The great denial, the denial of God, is a wave of materialistic atheism that is gradually engulfing the world. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 to 5, it says, "People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with it. We can see these things are happening already in this world. There are deceptive heresies being spread everywhere. They deny a hell of everlasting punishment. They deny the supernatural power and personal presence of the Holy Spirit. They deny sound doctrine of the personal, visible, imminent coming of Christ as a living hope for a dying world, all of which is predicted for the end of this doomed age. As the very end is at hand, Satan is using his full force against everything that is named Christian. False morals, things which people used to be ashamed of, are today openly propagated. Satan's tactic is to call good evil and evil good. As Christian believers, we have to be aware of what is happening in the spiritual world. Don't think that what you see, what you experience, is a full truth. Satan's trick is to make you believe everything is well. And the rapture is far away. If you understand this teaching, you will give yourself to full submission to God the Almighty. Stop thinking worldly and begin to think spiritually. Have the understanding of spiritual warfare. We read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done so, everything to stand." We have to wear this armor in these days, because it is very important. Next week, our study will reach from the rapture of the church to the final judgment of Satan and the heavenly Jerusalem. It will really be heaven when Satan is punished in the lake of fire forever. No more temptations, no more evil in this world. Please be prepared for the day of the rapture. It's coming, it's going to be earlier than what you ever thought.